We want to go ahead with our message this morning, and we're continuing our series on the book of Ecclesiastes. Usually, if you're here today visiting, what I normally do is I preach in series. I pick series and topics, always the Bible. The Bible's the bottom line. If you're looking for a church that doesn't teach the Bible, you definitely are in the wrong place. Amen? We love God's Word. Say that with me. We love God's... Say it again. Come on. We love God's Word. That's all I can count on. That's it. It's all I have. It's all I need. Amen? The Word of the living God. But we'll preach series. And sometimes it'll be over a whole book. And that's what this is. This is a series on Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is one of the strangest books in the Bible. I'm telling you. You got a guy who wrote it named Solomon. Right out of the gate, you know, that's a problem, because if you know Solomon's life, here's a man who was the wisest man who ever lived, richest man during that time of any king. And then you got a guy who was an utter fool, an idiot. He did everything, tried to find satisfaction. You think if you're the smartest guy in the world with the most money, that'd do it, don't you say? Didn't do it. Now, he had a great part of his life where he was hitting on all cylinders. And you see the book of Proverbs. So much of the book of Proverbs is from Solomon. We see the beautiful Song of Solomon that we preached just recently. By the way, we've got that DVD series. Last week we put out 30 sets, and they all went. I was amazed. And he made some more. They're out there today. A 4-set series on DVD of that message of Song of Solomon. But we see he was hitting on great cylinders. What happened to the man? It's speculation. The Bible does tell us that he certainly didn't have the power of God on his life like his father David had. He didn't give his heart towards God like his father David did. But it seems to me, and this is just speculation, that he loved his wife so much. This woman, I believe, he wrote about in the book of Song of Solomon. And something happened to her, and it devastated him. You ever known anybody just get devastated and almost lose their lid after something tragic happened to them? Sure, it happens. A lot of us can experience, we've experienced that. It's been the grace of God that's kept us on track. So anyway, so something happened to where he just went out and he tried to live life to the full. How do I know he did that? Well, for one thing, the guy had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And in this series, if you're just entering with us today, we've already had 2 messages, and I can't go back and replay them all, okay? You can get the series later, but right now we got to pick it up where we're at. The first message, one thing I'm trying to do is also tie a popular song to this series, or at least a song that has some tremendous meaning. The first message was that Rolling Stones song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Wasn't that Solomon's song? Say, that's his song, man. He wrote over 1,000 songs. I bet he would have wished he'd written that one. You know what I mean? Anyway, then last week, you've got that classic passage. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time for this. There's a time to that. And a lot of us, you know, we remember that song, turn, turn, turn to everything. Turn, turn, turn. There is a season. Turn, turn, turn. And it's a nice song. Sounds real nice. But you know, that passage really wasn't meant to be. Isn't that beautiful and really pretty? It's meant to see there's everything's vanity. You're born, you die. You plant some, you got to plug it up. You pull some rocks up, you got to move them somewhere. I mean, that's what it's all about. And that's the way this book is written. That's what makes it so strange. Okay? So today, we've got another song. We're not going to do it yet. Dust in the Wind. How many remembers that song, Dust in the Wind? There you go. All right? Well, you'll see how it plays into the message today. It's amazing how many songs, I believe, were written, if not based on this book, based on what this book talks about. And that's striving, looking to find happiness in life, you know, and you get out there and you just can't find it. You know where you can find it? In Jesus Christ. He can forgive your sins. You can lay your head on your pillow at night knowing you're a child of God. He comes alongside of you, the Holy Spirit. You have a friend that sits closer than a brother. He can change your life. Or you can be playing this game, Dust in the Wind. Let's look at it today. Now we're moving. Little unusual today in the message, because I took 4 chapters. Chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And I read it time and time and time again and was nearly to lose my mind. Because it's crazy. I've told you before, this is the Word of God. God allowed this book to be written. But you know what? It's Solomon's journal of his journey. And so much of what he says in this book is just plain wrong. Why? Because It's his journey of trying to find happiness. And he just couldn't find it and all the things and all the stuff. And he gives his opinions. But so much of what he says is right. So you got a problem with this book when you study it. But God's a big enough God that he can let a guy write this book and show us all what it's like out there. This pursuit of happiness apart from God. It's just chasing the wind. Okay? So let's look at it now. Let's go with the message. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 through 20. We're going to be in chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7. Not going to be in all of it. We use the big screen. We throw a lot of scriptures at you. I just want to remind you again. Had a couple, this couple here from Bradenton, wrote us this week on the computer and just wanted to ask how you can get the message online. You can go to fellowshipinglewood.com. And on the home page, you can click on the PowerPoint presentation that Roger does for us right now. And you can have it at your home. You can go over every scripture, every point, and you can see what God's Word says for yourself, okay? So check it out this week. Just, you can let it dig a little deeper in your spirit. Verse 18, "Behold that which I have seen, it is good and comely," this is Solomon talking, "for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he takes under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for it's his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life because God answers him in the joy of his heart." Let's keep moving and we're going to fly through all of this. You know, that all sounded good, but bottom line, Solomon was saying all you've got in this life is your work. All you've got is your labor and what you have. And it is a gift of God to be able to work. But you know what? There's more to life than what? Work. There's more. Jesus said it this way. There's more to life than meat, didn't he? Than feeding your face and even making a living to feed your face. And there's more to life than raiment, Jesus said. There's more to life than making money so you can buy you some clothes. Is buying food good? Yes or no? Sure. Is buying clothes good? Yes or no? Sure it is. But is that all there is? Is that the bottom? No. That's crazy. But it sounds like that's where Solomon's coming from. But guess why? He's on this journey, on this quest. And this is his journal of his journey. And you got to read the whole journal. You got to come to the end of the journal to see what happened. But let's look at it. He's empty. He's tried to get all out of life that he possibly could. And he still, it just still doesn't satisfy him. This is what Jesus said. Reminds me of this story. Chapter 12, verse 15. He said unto them, Jesus speaking, "Take heed, beware of covetousness." Beware of getting stuff and wanting stuff and craving stuff and thinking that other some stuff's going to satisfy you. "For a man's life consists not in the abundance of" what? Say it with me. "In the things which he..." Now help me here. Come on now. "And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully." Many of you know this story. "And this guy thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, this I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build me" what? "Bigger barns. And there I will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease." Say it with me. "Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, you fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This was Solomon's thinking. This was Solomon's head. This is where he was coming from. Are y'all with me so far? You hanging in here? So this is what he's thinking and how he's behaving, how he's acting. And I believe this. Say that with me. The wisest man was the biggest fool. So here I'm reading a book, trying to study it to get a message, written by the wisest man who was the biggest fool. You know how tough that is? That's tough. Why is it tough? Let's look at it. It makes it very difficult to understand for several reasons. Because what sounds right ain't right so many times in this book. Now I'm not saying that to say that the Bible's full of errors. The Bible isn't full of errors at all. It's perfect. That's what we put. If you get our missions, our what we believe at Fellowship, it's right off the bat. We believe the Word of God's perfect. Okay? And you might be a lot brighter than I am, and you've got it all figured out, all these imperfections. I'll let you take that up with God. Amen? You go ahead. Don't even come to see me about it, because I'm not going to talk to you about it. I've settled the issue. If you want to go on doubting God's Word, have at it. It's your life. That's not the life I want. I want to believe the Word of God, that it's perfect. But in this particular book, there's a man that's giving his own opinion about his journey, which isn't right, which makes it difficult when you preach the book. Does that make any sense? Let's keep looking. Solomon was godly and he was ungodly. He was wise and he was stupid. We can relate sometimes, can't we? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so much of what he said was this. Dust in the wind. Jimmy Grubbs, where you at? Reminds me, is it coming up shortly? Reminds me of Psalm 1, 1 through 4. You just get set. There you go. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Watch it. He shall be like a tree, the godly man, planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But watch this. The ungodly are not so. Can you say that with me? The ungodly are not so. But they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Okay? And today, I'd just like to show you what I've found that is godly and right in these four chapters that I study, while recognizing what is chaff or just dust in the wind. Okay? I don't know if you know the deal, and Roger's going to have it up a little bit later on, but when they are dealing with wheat, and you farmers will know this, they take the wheat and with the big pitchfork kind of thing, they throw it up in the air. Okay? Why would they do that? The good product, the wheat, what you want to keep, is heavier and it would fall. What about the waste and the stuff that wasn't any good? What happens with it? It blows away. You keep the good and the dust and the smaller particles and that's not good, it blows away. It's dust in the wind. And that's what Solomon's journey felt like. He's living life and so much that he's done is just blown away. Let's try to sing it. Come on. What you doing over there? Just chilling? You going to leave me by myself? Can you walk over here?
You're terrible.
I get him a mic and everything. Dust in the wind. Okay? So what I tried to do in these four chapters, I read it. I looked for things to sort of pop out at me, phrases. And you can do this on your own. You ought to, because you're going to see things that I didn't see and that I can't preach forever on, okay? So In this message today, I want to see what's dust and I want to see what's chaff. I want to see what's dust and what's real wheat, what's good and what's bad. Let's put it up. Wheat's the good stuff, amen? That's the stuff you want. That's the stuff that hits the floor. That's the stuff that we can keep. This man was brilliant and at the same time he was foolish. So we got to see what is the good stuff. But chaff is the bad stuff. It's gone with the wind, amen? It's like Miss Scarlet there, remember her? Some of you don't, anyway. Bless your heart. Get the movie, amen? Get the movie. Dust in the wind. Let's look at it. Now we're going to move. I saw some statements. And this is a different message. It's different than I normally do them. So you got to hang in here with me. I'm going to need help on this one, okay? I'm telling you, I got to have a little help. It didn't help me last night that I didn't get but 1 hour sleep, Mitchell. Anyway, okay, here we go. First thing that popped out at me, the house of God. Can you say these big statements with me? Here we go. The house of God. Here's what Solomon said. Look at it. Ecclesiastes 5:1. He said, keep your foot when you go to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Okay? The house of God. Solomon's saying, be ready, more ready to hear than to sacrifice. You think that's wheat or you think that's chaff? It's wheat, my friend. It's wheat. It's wheat. It's good stuff. When you come to this place, you ought to come in here ready to hear. Amen? So many people come to church, and that's what makes so many people sick of church today. They come into a church where these are the, quote, professional Christians are doing their little thing, and they're putting on a little show for crying out loud. It's pathetic. You know what I'm saying? I'm all for good works. I'm all for doing and serving Jesus Christ. But if you come in this place to be seen of other people because of the works you do, you're a fool. You ought to come here, hear the Word of God, praise the Lord, and listen to Him. That's what the Bible teaches. All throughout the Bible, Solomon's hitting on all cylinders right here. See what I'm saying? Wise. Stupid. We're going to see him a little stupid later, okay? Here's what the Bible says about listening to the Lord, obeying the Lord. 1 Samuel 15:20-23, God told King Saul, he said, I want you to destroy these people. I want you to go in there. He was a warrior king, and this is what you're supposed to do. I don't want any of them to be left. I don't want any of their stuff taken. I want it all destroyed. But guess what? They didn't do it. He did it his way. Watch it. And Saul said unto Samuel, when he approached him on it and said, God's angry at you. Saul said unto Samuel, excuse making, yea, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Watch it. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord, thy God in Gilgal. The people did it, but they made a sacrifice. Come on, what's the big deal? Samuel says to him, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Say this last part with me. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected you from being king. So what do you think matters the most when you come into the house of God? Is hearing the voice of God. Amen? It's not so much about you doing. You know what? I prefer, quite frankly, you to be doing out in this community. Amen? Be doing out in this community. Not to be seen of men, but to do the work of God. And here we come when there's certain things that has to be done. And there's many of us that work like a dog. And we welcome more of you to help us. Amen? However, we don't do it to be seen of men. We do it because it's got to be done. Amen? It's got to be done so that we can hear the voice of God. That's what Solomon said. He also said a sacrifice of a fool is evil. A sacrifice of a fool is evil. Listen, if you think somehow you popping a buck in the offering plate or 20 bucks in the offering plate or 100 bucks in the offering plate is going to get you favor with God, you are a fool. Listen, God wants your heart. He doesn't need your money. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. doesn't need that. He wants your heart. He wants you. A sacrifice of a fool is evil. To think somehow you can manipulate God. Think somehow you've done a duty because I've given this little sacrifice. Now I can go on. That is craziness. God wants your heart. That's what He wants. Another phrase that popped out at me is still we're on the house of God. I got another one like it coming up. 5:2. Be not rash with your mouth, Solomon says. Let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Therefore let your words be few. Okay? Hey, he's still hitting on some wheat. You hearing me say? Don't be rash with your mouth or hasty with your heart. It's so easy to get in a church service like this and get all revved up for Jesus and you make some bonehead decision. I'm not saying God doesn't speak in the house of God. He does. But I mean, I've had some people do some of the dumbest things over the years. God told me to do this. And then you can't argue with them. Stupid. You know, it ain't going to work. But forget it. I mean, I'm not saying every voice you hear is the voice of God. And you can get hyped up sometime and make a decision. I'm going to go to Africa and serve Jesus. Amen. Bless God. And you don't end up doing anything like that. Be careful with what you say with your mouth in the house of God, especially when you say it to God. Does that make any sense? Say. Makes sense to me. It's dust in the wind when you do that. Now here's another phrase that I saw. Say that with me. A vow to God. It sort of sounds like what we just talked about. But let's carry it a little further. A vow to God. Let's look at it. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you vowed. Better it is that thou should not what? Vow. Than that thou shouldest vow a vow and not pay. Don't say it if you can't pay it. Would you say that with me? Don't say it if you can't. How many times? I mean, I'm sure many of us are guilty. Man, we say we're going to do this. And we say we're going to do this for Jesus. And I'm going to help you get that building built. Yeah, uh-huh. Listen, don't say it if you can't pay it. Amen? Don't make a vow to God to impress me, to impress other people, to impress your family. Don't do that. Why? Let's look at it. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hand? Why should I not vow a vow to God and not keep it? Why should I say it, not pay it, and I think that's cool? Why? Tell you what, because the Bible says don't sin with your mouth. Don't sin with your mouth doing that. Why? Look at it. Number one, God may become angry at your voice. One thing I don't want in my life is when I call on God in prayer that He goes, there's Clark, and I'm ticked off at him. I'm angry at him. His voice is making me sick. That's what happens when we're not right with the Lord and we play these little church games, I'm telling you. But I'm praying in Jesus' name. Let me tell you something. It's perhaps a God in heaven who's pretty angry at you because you're not right with him. Does that make any sense? Solomon, this is deep stuff we're in. This is some pretty deep water we're walking through here with this guy. Wisest man ever. He's got it on me. I know that. But he's right on the money. Why should I not do that? Because God may destroy the work of your hands. You say it and don't pay it. God gets angry at your voice. God also destroys what you're trying to do. Why don't you just keep your mouth shut? Amen? Isn't that good stuff? Say. Better to keep hushed. We're just not going to impress God. So often we bow vows and we say things to impress other people. But here's the God in heaven. He rules the universe. And you're going to give me $50? And that's supposed to impress me? I'm not trying to be crude or ugly or anything like that, but I know I get that way sometimes. But just let it sink in. I think he's right on the money here. Ecclesiastes 5:7, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also vanities, wind. But fear thou God. What is he saying? Same thought. Dreams and words can leave you empty. Amen? We can have the biggest laid plans. We can say the biggest fancy words. We can say the fanciest prayers. We can make the biggest commitments, and we can still be empty as the day is long. Okay? What does Solomon say that we should do? Fear God. Can you say that? You fear God. One more time. Help me here. Come on. You fear God. That's the right thing. God is not going to bless you. He's not going to bless me unless I'm humble before Him, unless I fear Him. He is not interested in my words. I'm all for making commitments to God. But if they're foolish, if they haven't been thought out, if we haven't heard from the Lord, Don't do that. Don't do that. Dust are good stuff. Okay? I think this was some good stuff that we just saw. Let's look at this one. I told you, I just went through here, and here's something else I saw. A little different style for me to preach, I guess. However, here, let's do it. He said this as I'm reading through it. You can do it yourself. An evil which I've seen. It appeared three or four times in these four chapters. He said, there's an evil which I've seen. Wouldn't you want to know what it is? Say, huh? Is there an evil I've seen? Let's look at it and see what it is. Chapter 5, verse 13. There is a sore evil, he says, which I've seen under the sun. Now watch it though. Namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Now stay with me. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begets a son, and there's nothing in his hand. And he came forth of his mother's womb. As he came forth, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away with his hand. Watch it. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? So what is he saying? There's an evil I've seen. Here's what he's saying. You work, you get riches, you lose it in bad investments. Okay? You work, you get riches, you lose it in bad investments. He says, this is an evil. Hang in here with me. He says, you have also nothing to leave your kids. And what you've labored for is lost. Everything you've worked for is lost. He said, that's evil. Keep watching. 6, 1 and 2. He said, there's an evil which I've seen under the sun. It's coming among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, honor, so that he wants nothing for his soul of all that he desires. Yet God gives him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eats it. This is vanity. This is an evil disease. What is he talking about? Look at it. He said God will bless a man with great wealth and honor, but he's not healthy enough to enjoy it, and he dies. Man has all this money. He's worked so hard, but he's sick. He can't use it. You know what Solomon says? That's evil. What I'm saying is the guy's wise. He's a little stupid too. Let's keep looking. Come on, we're going somewhere. I know you think I'm nuts. Here we go. Others get to spend it, and others get to enjoy it. That's terrible. That's evil. Let's watch it. 6:3. He says it again. Something evil. He said, if a man begets 100 children, guy has 100 kids, he lives a long time so that the days of his years are many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he has, and also that he hath no burial. I say that an untimely birth is better than him. What is that saying in plain English? A man lives a long time. He has a lot of kids, but he has so little money. When he dies, they can't even give him a decent burial. Solomon says, this is evil. And you know what else he says? He says, look, it'd have been better if he'd have been born stillborn. Been better if he'd have never been born. Come on, what's this? Let me look at it. Here's what he was saying. If I can spend it and I can't enjoy it, and if I don't have a lot left over at the end, my labor has been in vain. That's what Solomon's saying. You know what I think? That's a bunch of bull. Okay? Did you get it or not? That's a bunch of bull. I'm not saying the Word of God is. I'm saying his head is. I don't know if you're with me or not. I read several commentaries. I read several people. Most of them don't want to talk about it, it seems like, the commentaries I read, or they just take one chapter and say about three little things. But the fact of the matter is, this man is giving a journal of his life, and not everything he says is right. And I want to tell you something. Mister, if you have a lot of kids, and you love those young'uns, and you have a great life with those young'uns, and at the end you have taught them about character and some things like that, yeah, you may have even fallen on hard times when you get older. Who knows? And you might not have a lot left over. But I tell you what, it's still better that you were born. Amen? It's still better that you were born and had some godly children. And you know what? Let me tell you. Let's just be honest. How many have made a bad investment in a building and it just didn't work out? Let me put your hands up. Come on. Nobody put money in the stock market? Okay? And it didn't pan out, did it? Lost. I know some of you have lost everything. Some of you have major setbacks like that before. That's not the end of the world, is it? Say, there's a sore evil which I've seen. I've seen a whole lot more evil than that, friend. Amen? Whole lot worse can happen to you than you work and you lose your money in investments. I'm not saying we shouldn't be wise and make good investments. I'm just saying don't let your life get caught up in money and it's just going to be dust in the wind, friend. Amen? Money takes wings and flies away. There's more to life than that. So I saw that. Now then I saw this. He kept using the word better, 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 better. And I call it better stuff. I saw some of this stuff and I'll just share it with you real quick. We got to go fast, Raj. Verse 6. Better is a handful with quietness than the both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Here's what that's plain English again. Better a little with contentment than a lot with depression and anxiety. Wheat or chaff? Wheat. I'd rather have a little, my friend, and have a great spirit and be able to put my head on my pillow at night than to have so much that I'm so sick about it all the time and I'm worried who's going to take it all and la, 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 la. All stressed out over that mess. Good stuff. Better stuff. How about this one? Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's what it's saying. The union of two is better than one, and a threefold unity is not quickly broken. Isn't that good stuff? Say. Isn't it great? One's good. Two's always better. Amen. They can help you dig that ditch twice as fast. And if you got three people on a team and all of them are in unity together, that's a great thing. A threefold cord cannot be easily broken. That's good stuff. How about this one? Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will not anymore be admonished. What's that? Plain English again. A poor and wise child is better than an old rich fool who won't listen. Amen? Listen, I've got all this money. But if you're a doofus and you're not listening and you are not a wise person, yeah, money can buy you stuff. But it's not going to buy you that wisdom, friend. And a lot of people have money, and quite frankly, it wasn't to their credit that they even got it. And yet we put them up on a pedestal. Listen, better, we shouldn't look down people that are poor. Many times they got a lot of wisdom. Some of the best, wisest people I've ever met are country folk from a little old town called Rockingham, North Carolina. By the way, how many seen Bucky? Bucky on American Idol is from my hometown. Bucky! Yeah. Poor Bucky. I don't think Bucky's going to make it. Anyway. But it's been fun while it's lasted. Here we go. Anyway, let's keep moving. Here's something else he says that's better. A good name is better than precious ointment. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. What is that saying? A good reputation is better than the best perfume. A good reputation is better than the best perfume. Put it up, Raj. How you smelling? Amen? You know, I mean, I'm fancy, got a good perfume, all that good stuff. Listen, how's your reputation? A good name is far better than anything else that you could ever achieve. A great reputation. The day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. What does that mean? Well, that's true. All this better stuff, I agree with Solomon. What does that mean? You have a little baby that's born, and you go, oh, he's so cute, look at him. Looks like his mama. You know, and what else do you say? He got five fingers in one hand and five in another. He got 10 toes. And look at him. He's pink looking. He's wrinkled. You know? That's great. You can say a lot like about a little baby, but that's about all you can say because you don't know the kid, right? You know what I mean? That's why the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth, because then a guy is 70, 75, 80 years old, and all the people come and they got something to say about him. Amen? Oh, he was good. He did this. He was a blessing. She was a blessing. She loved her family, her grandyoungins. She was a missionary. She did this. She did that. The day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. It should be. Amen? A good name, Proverbs 22, is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name. So we're just talking about some better stuff. He says this, sorrow is better than laughter. That sounds crazy. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. But I agree with him. Look, sorrow is better than laughter. Anybody can get up on a stage if they're funny and make you laugh. Okay? But not just anybody can make you weep. It's usually somebody that you loved when they have died, that breaks your heart. Sorrow, when it's coupled with a reputation and you love that person, you care for that person, is better than a good laugh any day. That's what he's saying. Mourning, by the way, if somebody has lost a loved one, we shouldn't go up to them and say, now, just need to get over it and you just need to get on with your life and you just need to quit crying so much. Mourning is a refiner to a broken heart. Do you understand that or no? Weeping, crying, oh, that's terrible. They're weeping, they're crying. It's not terrible. God created us that way. It's a good thing. That's better stuff. I know it's sort of strange. This is what the book teaches. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Better is the end than the beginning. Pretty much plain English there. The patient spirit is better than a proud spirit. You know what? It's great to start something. How many people that don't raise your hand have started something? Oh, I'm so excited. I started something. Oh, but how great it is to finish it. Amen? Isn't that great? Being patient. Getting it done. I'm excited about Fellowship Church. The building's not everything. That's sure not everything. This is what we're doing is the important thing right here this morning. However, it is going to feel good. Amen? And some of you think we need to do it right now. You know what that sounds like to me? You've got a proud spirit. We've got to be patient. We've got to be patient. We just have to stay steady. And I can see the end, but I ain't at the end. Amen? We just have to, and that's what I think. We've got to stay with it. Patient spirit is a good thing. It's going to make it sure sweet. I hate the sound system going down like it's been going, but you know what? Making me long a little bit. Amen? For a good sound system one day. I'm excited. Let's keep moving. Then he said this. Two other phrases come up. Consider this stuff. Two things. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked? Okay? You can't make straight what God's made crooked. You ought to quit wasting your time. This week, I guess somebody at NASA discovered there's life on another planet. Comes to be some kind of water vapor or something somewhere. You know what would be better for you? Instead of trying to figure everything out there, instead of accepting that God created you like he said he did in Genesis, and you're worried about all this, that, or the other, you know what? There's just certain things you ain't going to be able to figure out. I can't figure out how God took dust, breathed in it, the breath of life. I can't figure it out at all. But you know what else I can't figure out? I can't figure how each of us have a unique DNA. I can't figure out how that they can take your eye retina and it's uniquely you, period, in the planet. And that just sort of happened. You know what? There's certain things that seems to be a little crooked and don't make good sense. You just need to accept it by the grace of God that God's your creator. Okay? Good stuff. Let's look at another one. He says, all things I've seen in the days of my vanity. There's a just man that perishes in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man that prolongs his life in his wickedness. He said, you ought to consider this. Here it is. It's a waste of time trying to figure out why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people. Does that make any sense? How many of us have wasted time doing that before? We've saw some good person, and they're just struggling, and boy, sister so-and-so, she's a dirty dog, and she got it all good. That's a waste of time. You're not going to figure that stuff out. He says, consider this thing. It ain't going to happen. Quit trying to figure it all out. That's good stuff. Then he says, overmuch stuff. He uses this term a couple of times, and we're done this morning. Whew. Overmuch stuff. What does that mean? He says this, and I read this several times until finally it started to sink in a little bit with me. Be not righteous over much. Neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not over much wicked. Neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before your time? Is that strange to y'all or what? I'm like, is this? So I kept reading and reading. All right, here we go. Let's take a stab at it. Don't be overmuch righteous. You know what? I agree with that to a certain extent. If we come off, friend, as high and mighty, and we're so full of ourselves, and we're over righteous, look at us, baby, that's a bad thing, isn't it? That don't smell good. Just doesn't work. So don't do that. Secondly, don't be overmuch wise. If you got an answer for everything, before long nobody's going to ask you a question anymore. Amen. You hear me? Sometimes, I mean, listen, education's great.
wonderful. I've said it before, believe it or not, I have an education. You know, college education, all got good stuff. But guess what? Listen, education's wonderful. But if it gets to the point that you're so full of yourself and you also can become God, you know, listen, come on, that's a little much. Okay? Keep it in check. I agree with that. Why? Because this can destroy your work. If you're full of yourself, whether it's over your righteousness or over your wisdom, it can destroy your work and everything. There's a lot of brilliant people who have bit the dust because they got full of themselves. Let's look at this next one. He says, this scripture came to us. I want to put it up. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people that are full of themselves and think they're holy aren't going to make it. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in the name cast out devils in your name, done many wonderful works? Watch it. Then will I profess unto you, to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Self-righteousness ain't going to get it. You need his righteousness. Okay? Then look at this next one. Don't be overmuch wicked. Wonder what that means. Does that mean we can be some wicked? Well, you know what? We are all wicked. The Bible says, say it with me if you want it, if you know it. There is none righteous, no, not one. How about this one? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? The Bible says that, so we're all wicked. But should we be overmuch wicked? Look, this can lead to an early grave. That's what the Bible says. Average age of a homosexual, 45. But you choose this lifestyle and it's destructive. Running around. The Bible calls it whoring around. You'll catch sexually transmitted diseases. It happens. Where are you at? It's crazy. If you're overmuch wicked, you're going to go to an early grave. Well, I can drink. The Bible says I can drink. Yeah, go ahead, man. Your liver's going to shut down on you. We got doctors in the house. I believe they'd back me up on it. Drink, drink, drink. Sure, sure. It's not good for you. Isn't it funny you go to the doctor and the first thing they ask, do you drink? What's the next question? Do you? But smoking's okay. I can smoke. Sure you can. It's going to cause some problems in your body. Isn't it funny when a mama gets pregnant, they tell her not to do what? But it's okay. Listen. There are certain things, yes, you can do it. You can do these things. Your life, okay? I live my life. But I tell you what, you ought to take this wisdom. Don't be overmuch wicked. There are certain things that we don't have to do that we do that's going to lead us to an early grave. Are you hearing me say? Okay, makes good sense to me. The Bible says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. These are people that were taking communion and not being thoughtful about what this was, a serious thing, and they were just not having any thought about it. It was a party time. God says, you better be careful with your wickedness. All right, here we go. Wheat or dust? A little of both. Didn't you think we had a little of both there? Say, some of the things he said, little of both, little wheat, little dust, had to think it through. Come on, Rog, we're done. I just want to close with this. This idea of not being overmuch righteous. Don't use that as a cop-out. Don't use that as a cop-out. Look what Deuteronomy says. You shall serve, shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Here's what Paul said. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. I reach forth to those things which are before me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's put it up, Raj, and we're done. Don't let the fear of being self-righteous keep you from being right with God. Can you say that with me? Don't let the fear of being self-righteous keep you from being... Have you ever done that? Well, you know, I don't want him to think that I'm, you know, like some holy Joe. Some Bible thumper. Listen, be careful with your mind and what you think. Don't you let the fear of somebody thinking that... Because people are going to think you're bad anyway. You see what I'm saying? Because there's a devil that doesn't want them to get saved, doesn't want them to hear about Jesus. So don't you go into that trap. That's why I have a little disagreement with Solomon on this thing. Don't let the fear of being self-righteous keep you from being right with God and striving to be all you can be for His glory. Hit it. Not your glory.
That's the difference. We ought to be as right with God as we can be, but not for our glory. Amen? I ought to strive all I can to serve God and love Him, but not for my glory. Amen? Bottom line, wheat or dust? Can you say that with me? Wheat or dust? Here it is. What are you? What are you today? When God takes you and throws you up like this with the pitchfork, do you hit the floor? Or do you just fly away? Are you nothing but hot air? Particles that... Or is there some substance to you? Is there something in you that is solid that God's saying, it's good stuff. I hope that can be said of you today. Amen? Let's stand together.